Mark chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of the four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. This narrative is one we're familiar with as Bible readers, and I want to work my way through the story tonight. But verse number 4, the Bible said, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." When they could not come nigh unto him for the press. I want to preach to you tonight about unwilling to be denied. Unwilling to be denied. Amen. And I know we usually talk about that as a personal perspective, but tonight, really, the four friends are the ones that were unwilling to be denied. So you say, "I'm not the one with the issue in this service." Well, good. I'm preaching not just the one that has the issue, but maybe the four people surrounding the person with the issue. Amen. And how know if we, as the four friends, are unwilling to be denied, there's some folks that can really, really get help in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're seated. Amen. Unwilling to be denied. Amen. The Bible, the word of the Lord in this story teaches us so many wonderful, wonderful truths, and I want to look at a few of them tonight. And of course, you and I know that Jesus was so attractional in his life. He attracted from all walks of life. One of the accounts of the Bible writers of this story said that Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and the doctors at this point. The Bible teaches us this story unfolds right after Jesus has healed a leper. And so we can see that all walks of life were attracted to Jesus. There was something magnetic about the Son of God. There was something attractive about Jesus. I still feel that way tonight, don't you? Amen. As they were singing the songs, amen, "I was attracted to Jesus." Amen. There's something magnetic about his life. Amen. I love to hear preaching about Jesus. I love to hear singers sing about Jesus because I know what Jesus has done for my life. And I understand the word of the Lord tells us he is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Hallelujah. The Bible records that Jesus is preaching the word. Notice that. The Bible said in verse number 2, he preached the word unto them. Amen. I still believe we ought to be preaching the word to the people, don't you? Amen. The whole counsel of God. Amen. Not personal agendas and philosophies and our feel-good things that we want to get to. But how many knows if we'll preach the word of the Lord, the power of God will be present. Hallelujah. We're in an hour where it seems like biblical illiteracy is rising and people don't know what the word of the Lord says. But I'm glad for the word of God. Amen. I'm glad for the power of the word of God. Amen. It is the word of God that is forever settled in the heaven. Amen. I'm glad tonight I got saved. There was a preacher telling me about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. He was preaching the word unto me. I'm glad you've got a pastor here in this pulpit that will preach the word. Amen. Week in and week out. Amen. If we're going to have strong families, if we're going to have strong homes, if we're going to have strong churches, how many knows it's not going to be on emotion? It's not going to be on how we feel, but it is going to be based on the word of the Lord. The Bible said that Jesus was preaching the word unto them. Amen. I believe tonight, friend, that when the world is on fire and is melted away with the fervent heat, it is the word of the Lord that'll stand the test of time. Amen. So someone preach us the word. Study the word. Rightly dividing. Amen. I want to know, thus saith the word of
the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so tonight I want to, with the help of the Lord, walk through this story tonight. And these four men have grabbed my attention. And I want to just, three things I want to point out to you that inspire me about these men in this story. First of all, the Bible said that this man was born of four. He was carried by four men to his miracle. That first thing that impresses me or inspires me about these men is their unity. Their unity. All four of these men are in unity, one agenda, one purpose, one idea, one thing in mind. Amen. I know they are unwilling to be denied, but there is something they have set their mind to, and it is to get this man to Jesus. That is the agenda. That is the plan. Notice the Bible doesn't tell us how long they journey. The Bible doesn't tell us much about the journey. The Bible does talk about a barrier they face in just a little while I want to preach about. But here's what I know. The reason they picked this man up on his bed, one writer said his couch, and carried him all the way to Jesus is this. They were unified in seeing this man get the help that he needed. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, tonight it is still Jesus that solves our problems. You've got married troubles. Jesus solves those problems. You've got a sin problem. It is Jesus that solves our problems. Amen, friend. I'm going to tell you, you got financial, career troubles, church trouble, whatever it is still Jesus, my friend. When I'm depressed, I call Jesus. When I get discouraged, I call Jesus. When I need direction in situations, I call Jesus. Amen. He's still a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is still a friend in the middle of a night. Amen. He is still a healer. He is still a savior. Amen, friend. He is still a buckler, a shield, and a provider. I'm glad we can go to Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I know him, friend. I'm not reading out of a history book tonight. I met him as a little boy on a dead-end street in Dayton, Ohio, when my dad was preaching. And some 30-plus years later, I'm going to tell you, Jesus never fails. I've never seen a situation too big. I've never seen a sickness too dark. I've never seen a problem too hard that we could not go to Jesus. Matter of fact, Paul said it like this: now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Paul could have simply said, now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. Paul could have wrote it that way. Now unto him that is able. But there was something swelling up under the inspiration of Paul's pen, that when he talked about the power of God, when he talked about the magnificence of Jesus, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Amen, friend. I'm going to tell you tonight, amen, Jesus is able. Doesn't matter the situation, and it doesn't matter the issue, but my friend, hear me tonight, Jesus is able. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said that these four men carry this man. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but it's my impression that every man has a corner of the bed. Every man's got their corner. Every man has their post of duty. Every man has their responsibility to get this man to Jesus. And so they are going to do it expediently. They're going to do it right now. You know why? Because the Bible said that Jesus, it was noise that Jesus was in the house. And maybe it was Peter's house. If we read in Mark chapter number 1, this story is continuing into Peter's house, but the Bible does say the house was full. The house was full, and it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Amen. Our pastor admonished us when we started this service tonight, and when we started this convention, that we're not here just to see one another, although that is a good thing, and I'm glad for godly fellowship. Amen. But I have heard it noise. I've heard it noise that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that Jesus is pledged to be in the midst. And can I tell you, we drove that bus not just to see you and not just to let you see us. Amen. But I've got to believe believe that when this many holiness people get together, that there the Son of God is willing to come down in the midst of his people and to begin to heal and to begin to deliver and to begin to baptize. I say, God, let it be. And not just Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but on Wednesday night, the very first service. Is there any unwilling to be denied and said, I don't care what my circumstance looks like. I don't care how dark the situation, but we are unwilling to be denied. If we can but get to Jesus, if we can but touch the hem of his garment. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we're in for a meeting. We're in for an old-fashioned sin-killing, a devil-chasing true blue, a heaven-sent power of God. That's what I'm interested in. God, send revival to your people. But they said, we got to go right now. Jesus is in the house right now. Amen. If we're going to get in unity, we're going to have to do it expediently. We're going to have to do it right now, tonight, this service, not tomorrow. Jesus might come. I don't want to mess up your theology, but I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. Amen. I might be shouting on the streets of glory. Amen. But why don't we just push in tonight and say, this service, tonight, tonight, tonight. The Bible doesn't even give us their names. And so they're unified selflessly. They don't really care if their names get mentioned or not, but they are cooperating together. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who sings to me. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if this is the only sermon I preach in this meeting. If folks get the help of God they need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Neil Bridges talks about that time at Broxton, and it's a powerful, powerful story, and I'm not relegating to a time when the Word of God is not important. Jesus is preaching the Word. So I'm not usurping the authority of God's Word, but I believe if we preach the Word, it'll bring the power of God. And if we'll respond to the power of God, we'll see things like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. They thought, during that time at Broxton, they thought the one of the instruments had caught fire or something because there was a cloud that filled the platform. They checked. Nothing was plugged in. Wasn't an instrument on fire. But the glory, the visible power of God had filled that tabernacle. And for a few days, there was no preaching. Just the glory of the Lord settled in there. They'll talk about how many people got saved. 30 or 40 something received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hey friend, hey friend. Amen, God's not dead. I said, God's not dead. Amen, we're still serving the same God. If we can get to Jesus. Amen, if we can do it selflessly. If we can do it right now, tonight, expediently. If we can get together in unity and say, hey, we've got some folks that got some troubles. We've got some folks that have some issues. Amen. I'm glad they're in the house of God. Amen. If they've got issues, this is the place to be. Amen. I'm glad they're in the house of God. Amen. But I want to help them get to Jesus. I said, I want to help them get to Jesus. They might have come in laid down paralytic. They might have come in discouraged and depressed. But if we can get them to Jesus, if we can get them in front of Jesus, if we can worship enough to get an attitude and an atmosphere of revival, who knows that Jesus might lay his hand on them and they leave shouting under the power of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I said, our God is not dead. But if we'll get in one mind and one accord, amen, they were in unity, every man in their position. Amen. Well, let the preachers do it. No. Amen. Let the singers do it. No. Amen. What if from the front to the back? What if everybody in this service tonight said, I've got a role to play in this service. I'm going to help somebody get to Jesus. I'm going to praise Jesus. I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to make it easier for somebody to get to Jesus. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to push somebody toward the Son of God tonight. Hallelujah. How many knows you can make it easier or harder for somebody to get to Jesus? You really can. by worshiping the Lord and magnifying the Lord and obeying the Lord, we're making it easier for somebody to get to Jesus. But if we act uninterested, if we act bored, if we act like our mind is somewhere else, amen, we're not producing an atmosphere that is conducive to revival. Amen. Oh God, tonight, I want to help somebody. I said, I want to help somebody. I want to push somebody to Jesus. Amen. How many in unity tonight? I said, how many in unity? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in all in one place, and they were one accord. I said, God, do it right now. I said, God, do it tonight. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Hallelujah. I'm inspired not only by their unity, but by their audacity. This is early in the ministry of Jesus. And all of a sudden, brother, they decide we're going to carry our friend to Jesus. They didn't read that in a history book somewhere, because the ministry of Jesus is just now unfolding. But they had just heard the news he had touched a leper. And there is no cure for leprosy. And they just heard that Jesus healed a leper. And not only did he heal a leper, but he touched the leper. And instead of the clean becoming unclean, which is how most of the time it happened with lepers, the unclean became clean. And so that noise is traveling throughout the society. That noise is a buzz throughout the society and the community. Did you hear what Jesus did? Did you hear what Jesus did? Did you hear what Jesus did? When's the last time you got excited about what Jesus has done? When's the last time you got excited? Amen. Come on, somebody. When's the last time you shouted you were still saved? When's the last time you ran the aisles because God healed you 30 years ago? How many times have you shouted because your children are still saved and full of the Holy Ghost? When's the last time we had camp meeting over what we heard God was doing? My God's not dead. He's still alive. That's why the songwriter said, I feel him in my hands and I feel him in my feet. I said, God, in just a few minutes when we come to this altar, would you do it one more time? The way you healed me, the way you baptize me, the way you save me, would you do it tonight in the house of the Lord? And these four men said, we're going to be so audacious, we're going to carry this man's bed to Jesus. We may not be able to get Jesus to come to this house, so we're going to take this bed to Jesus. Just think about it for a second. Think about it. What caused them? What motivated them? How desirous they were, unwilling to be denied. And I'm not here to throw stones at anybody, but I got some folks on that I preach to on a weekly basis. In 20 years I've been there, I don't ever remember seeing them get excited about trying to get somebody to Jesus. I mean, it's almost like they've got an internal clock on Sunday mornings. 5 minutes till noon, all of a sudden something starts getting a hold of them. It's amazing. They only have to look at their clock. We're so wired. We're so conditioned. If you turn the service a little bit sideways, well, wait, we don't do it like that. What do you mean we don't do it like that? I didn't get a pattern in the New Testament. That's why I love this story. That's why I love this story. And Jesus does not rebuke them. He doesn't say they're out of order. Amen. But he watches them. I'm not saying we ought to be destructive. And we ought to literally swing from the chandeliers. A few years ago, a fellow was trying to visit our church a little bit. And he actually went online and listened to some of my sermons. And so before he came to church, now this is 10 plus years ago probably, or thereabouts, he's still with me, but he come out of a conservative background. And so he said, in one of your sermons, you referenced swinging from the chandeliers. I just want to make sure, was that a literal statement? Yeah, we can't reach our chandeliers in our church. But I would, somebody sometimes would have a little bit of fire to worship the Lord. I'd love to see somebody jump up on their feet and say, "Thank God I'm saved." Sometimes during a song service, Brother Matt, I wish to God somebody just jump up and say, "I got saved 40 years ago, and it's as good right now as the night I got saved." I would to God somebody jump up during testimony service. Instead of saying, "Anybody got a testimony?" and that awkward silence for a few seconds, somebody jump up and say, "I've been saved 30, 40, 50 years. God's never failed me. God's never failed me. God's never failed me. God's never failed me." I don't think you got to get stale. I don't think you got to get lukewarm. I don't think you got to lose the fire of God. No, sir. I think you can come into the house of God ready to shout, ready to dance, ready to worship, ready to obey the name of our God. I said, "Oh, hallelujah." Something inside of them said, We've got to get. We've got to get to Jesus. And so you know the story as well as I do. The crowd is full. The barrier's at the door. Four men. Come here. Brother Green, come here. All three of you. Come here. Let's get in a rectangle. I'll be one of the. So, it's geometry. Well, what do we do now? We tried. I don't know how heavy this guy is on this bed, but he's dead weight. I don't know how long we've already carried. Guess we're going back home. I don't know if all four of them, I don't know if somebody looked up at those steps and said, You know what? What if? What if we climbed those stairs, crawled out on the clay-tiled roof, and began to scratch away the hardened mud they used as a cement, tear the tiles up, take some ropes? Do you think? What if? What if? I don't know how it happened to neither to you, but somehow they crawled up those steps. They got out on the top of that roof. I don't know how long that it took, but somehow they started ripping back the mud. They started ripping back the clay tiles. Somebody, if it's Peter's house, let's just say it's Peter's house. Can you imagine what's going on top? What's up on the porch, Peter? What's going on? What's the noise I hear? As Jesus is trying to teach, that noise is upstairs. Somebody said, "I can't concentrate. I'm being distracted. I'm being distracted. I got to get a new seat." You ever been in church like that? Somebody sits down and they just want to sit real quietly, and they sit down beside a worshiper. They sit down beside somebody clapping their hands, and they're just like, what? And they've got to move. I would tonight, amen, we'd say, "What if? What if I get up out of this valley? What if I get up and go to that altar? What if I throw my hands up? What if? What if?" I'm going to tell you, there's a God standing. There's a God in the middle. There's a God waiting to do exceedingly abundantly. I said, "Oh, whatever it takes." I said, "Whatever it takes." And when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith, notice that when he saw their faith, when he saw them in action, when he saw them moving, and when he saw their faith, he healed him. When he saw them move, he healed him. Woo! Amen. If I could get you moving tonight, if I could get you shouting, if I could get faith up in your heart, no telling what God will do for your neighbor. No telling what God will do for somebody else. When he saw their faith was moving. Their faith was in action. Their faith was trying to get to Jesus. When he saw their faith. I got faith, preacher. I'm waiting on God. I know there are stories like that in the Bible, but in this story, when he saw that faith, that's why I'm inspired by their creativity. Who would have thought to rip off the roof? Who would have thought not to go through the door, but to go through the ceiling? Who would have thought it? What if you grab your wife by the hand tonight and say, let's go to the altar? What if you bring your children to the altar and say, let's have family revival? What if you've sought for the Holy Ghost, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But you say, I'm going to seek the Lord one more time. I'm going to seek the Lord one more time. I'm going to worship God until. Right now I want to ask, not so much who's got the issue. We'll get to that in just a second. But are you willing to be one of the four? Are you willing to carry part of the bed? Are you willing to hold up your end of the deal? Anybody in this building tonight ready to be one of the four? I said, anybody on my right side ready to be one of the four? Anybody on my left side ready to be one of the four? Well, preacher, if they know what to do, they know what to do. If they really want God, they know what to do. Well, what if we help them a little bit? What if we help them a little bit? We got a little girl coming to church, my wife's friend. She's in her early 20s and she doesn't know anything about God. I preached to her a couple months ago and it was the first time she ever heard a gospel sermon. She needs somebody to help her along. And every Sunday morning, Beth is there trying to help her get to Jesus. Trying to help her get to Jesus. The other day, she works at UPS, and Beth went in to mail something. And she had heard me say something about Pentecostal. She don't know what that means. She couldn't spell it. But she was excited about what Jesus is doing. So Beth is in there mailing the package, and she said, oh, here's my preacher's wife. Here's my pastor's wife. Tell, well, what are we now? What are we? What are we? Are we penniless? Is that what we are? Is that what he said? I thought, well, that too, silver and gold have we none. But she knows this past Sunday, she come to the altar. She had her hands lifted. She had her tears running down her face. I'm telling you, friend, amen, it's because somebody took her by the hand and said, hey, I'll go to the altar with you. I'll pray with you for a little while. Amen, I'll stay here as long as you need. Amen, oh, I'd like to see somebody tonight get up. I said, get up. Get up. In the name of Jesus. I said there's healing. I said there's power. I said there's deliverance. I said come on. I'll pray with you. I'll get you back to Jesus. Oh, do it, Lord, right now. Anybody willing to be one of those four? You're willing to be one of the four right now. I want you to stand to your feet right now. You're willing to be one of the four because you don't know what I'm getting ready to ask you to do, so you don't. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're willing to be one of the four. How long I gotta pray? I don't know. Pastor said we're not getting back to the hotel till late. That's what he said. He's got faith operating. Woo! You're willing to be one of the four. Whoever does the music here and however you do it, go ahead and get ready. You're willing to be one of the four. One of the four. We've got to get this man. The Bible doesn't even call the man by name. He just says, there's a palsy. His sickness so overwhelmed his life, his identity was tied up in his sickness. You might be like that if you've got the issue. If you've got an issue tonight on this first night of
holiness convention. You might need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might need deliverance. You might need salvation. You might, the list is long. You might need healing in your body. Maybe you're discouraged, whatever the need. But I'm going to ask you to be very, very courageous right now and say, I've got an issue. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to wait till Friday. I've got an issue that needs resolved right now. I want you to hold your hand up. You've got an issue you want resolved tonight. You're willing to pray. You're willing to seek God. I want you to hold your hand up as high as you can, because I'm going to send four people. I'm going to send four people coming for you right now. You got your hand up. You've got an issue. Listen to me. You stood up earlier and you said, I'm willing to be one of the four. I'm willing to be one of the four. I want you to look around right now. If there's somebody, hand up. Men with men, women with women. I want you to go to them right now. And I want four praying for one. I want you to go get them and bring them to this altar right now. Come on, do it right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, right now in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, right now, when we get to this altar, amen, those that have an issue, I want you to lift your hand. I want four people. Make sure there's at least four. Come on, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, what's God going to do on a Wednesday night? I said, what's God going to do right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Spirit of the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. There's more room in this altar right now. Ah, there's more room at this altar right now. Hey, come on, church. I said, come on right now. Oh, we're going to press through. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Ah, you need the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's worship the Lord.